Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome in here to the Fightful YouTube channel. It is a Saturday night, July 20th, 2024. Rick Uccino here tonight. Iridian and Cresta, they are working elsewhere this evening. So I brought in the only man that I could do this show with. There is no doubt in my mind there was only one person. When I realized that I was either going to be riding solo or I could go out and get my tag team partner for the last, how long we've been working together now? 3-4 years at this point. We've been doing shows together. Time just freaking flies. I had to call him my man, SP3. He is here on a Saturday night. It's actually Sunday morning, very early Sunday morning where he's at right now. But this man is committed like you read about, and he is here ready to talk about AEW Collision. What's going on, SP3?
Hey, I am barely medically cleared to be on this show, and I am still here on a Saturday night. It's all right to fight. Rick gave me the message, the call last night, and it changed my entire Saturday plan. I was planning on watching TNA Slammiversary live and then watching Collision in the morning because I'm probably going to have to review it for my channel. But nope, he made me switch up my whole thing. I had the double screens going on. I was more focusing on Collision because we had to review this show. But I was very happy to fill in for the great Iridian and Cresta. I don't know if I'll be able to, you know, fit the beauty and grace and knowledge portion that they fill very, very well. But sarcasm and talking loud, I got my new moniker is that I'm the Axel Foley of wrestling media. I talk very loud and I'm black.
That's very accurate. Like, God dang, that is incredibly, incredibly accurate. I appreciate you hopping on tonight. What a show we had tonight. A lot of great in-ring action. We have new trios champs in the patriarchy and what was a really, really good main event tonight. When we get there, I'll give Christian Cage all of his flowers because that man is a heel through and through, and he did it again tonight. The cherry on top of the sundae of this main event was that man grabbing all three trios championships and holding him up and not letting Killswitch or Nick Wayne even sniff those bad boys. But we do appreciate everybody who is joining us here on a Saturday night or Sunday morning, depending on where you're at. We got Terrence checking in from West Quebec, Canada right now. We appreciate that. Sound off. Where are you at, everybody? If you want to guarantee to get your comment read on the air, got to send in Super Chat or Humper Chat, get them in. Guaranteed, I will read every single one of them throughout the entirety of the show tonight before we get off the air, or Drew is going to give me 10 lashes after the show if I do not do it. But Drew will stay on me to make sure that I get this done. We got people from Texas up in here. Hey, Texas, perfect. Perfect for tonight's show. And honestly, the next several here in the summer here, SP3, what did we think about the first show from the Esports Stadium tonight? much smaller venue than what AEW typically runs, kind of a more intimate setting. Had a real nice house show, independent show kind of feel. And I don't mean that in a bad way whatsoever. This is something that, you know, Sean Ross Epp, our fearless leader here on Fightful, was hoping AEW would do, you know, instead of running the bigger venues and only selling out the lower bowl while they're, you know, figuring out the ticket situation and everything that they're trying to get through right now. I was hoping they would run some smaller venues. It just felt like, I don't know, it felt right tonight. It felt like that smaller, intimate, you know, club style setting. And this was a crowd in Arlington, Texas that was into the show tonight.
That was my first main takeaway, is I really liked the set. I really like how it looked, how it felt. The crowd felt energetic, felt like they were into everything. I heard it was a sellout, and they only needed, 1,300 to sell out this place. So that's a good number. That's what they need to do more, especially with a show like Collision. I think that you can try to, you know, do the 5,000-seaters, the maybe sometimes even the 10,000-seaters for Dynamite. But Collision, you know, you need to establish some type of identity. So if they can get some type of reticency with another, you know, state or city, I think that's the thing to do, like a 1,300 seater. And it looked good. It had an intimate feel to it. The only things I would have changed is I thought that they should have like lightened up the crowd a little bit more. And I know they were going for more of an intimate feel, and darkening the crowd is a little thing that they do, but put some light on the crowd. I want the old AEW back, and change the camera view to like it doesn't look like, you know, TNA. It was very TNA with the camera facing the entrance way and the video screen. TNA or AAA, because they do that as well. But
I was gonna say that was new to me, because I don't watch a whole lot. Like, people who've watched me on the channel have said this before. Thursday's my off day. Like, that is my day that I take off from wrestling, because I'm watching it 6 days a week. So I'd rather watch Dexter or something else. Just a nice little palate cleanser. So I don't get to watch a whole lot of TNA or Ring of Honor or any of those. So that was actually new for me tonight. So, you know, seeing that, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I actually like the different camera angles. But I guess this is something that, you know, the wrestling sickos are used to.
Yeah, I'm one of those wrestling sickos. The only night I take off is Tuesday night, because I don't have to watch NXT live. I pretty much have to watch every other show live. So I take off, and I've said it on a couple of different channels, and I'll say it here. Monday Night Raw, since I'm in the UK, I watch it until Karrion Kross is announced for a match. If it's Karrion Kross talking, I'm all here for it. But if you say Karrion Kross has a match, I'd be like, oh, time for my bedtime. But Thursdays, you know, I do see, you know, ROH live, and then review it here, and then afterwards on Friday morning I watch TNA, and they always have the camera facing the entranceway, so that's why it kind of felt like, I said, TNA-ish. But I like the intimate feel. I think that's what they need to go for. I think this is also the set and how it's laid out is also going to help ROH television when they start filming there as well. But I like this for Collision, and I think I'm going to enjoy this run in Arlington up until All In.
Yeah, and I hope every single one of these are sold out, and I hope that they're having to, and this is going to sound mean when I say this, but like, I hope they're having to like turn some people away because they are sold out. Like, make it feel like a hot ticket again, and really, like, if you can put together a string of like really, really great shows, all of a sudden you can turn Arlington into an AEW, you know, city. And months down the road, when you come back, you can book a bigger venue. And all of a sudden, now you're packing in 3,000, 4,000, 5,000.
Yeah, because Texas has always been, you know, a good area for AEW. They always are some of their loudest crowds. And I heard for like pretty much a year or two now, for fans that have been wanting Texas to get a pay-per-view. And, you know, Sean this week on Fightful Select reported that they're, you know, his sources are saying that AEW is looking at, you know, the Dallas, Arlington, Fort Worth area for a stadium show next year. You're right. You're 100% right that they have to kind of make it a hot ticket as they're there for this residency that's going to help them parlay into that announcement. If they are going to make that announcement, because Tony Khan wants to deny stuff, he's like, I don't got I don't got my T's crossed and my I's dotted, Sean. Thanks. So let me deny this real quick in the most vague way possible. But I think they got to make it a hot ticket for this residency before they make that announcement for the stadium show. So this crowd was really good tonight. I really liked it, and it added a lot to a couple of the matches on the card.
Yeah, a little echoey as far as when people were talking, so sometimes it made it a little difficult to hear. But, you know, technical difficulties. You got plenty of time. What, next 6 weeks or so, whatever it is, you got plenty of time to figure out the technical difficulties, and you got plenty of time to sit down and talk with the sports commission there in Dallas and get that stadium show locked up next year for sure. Although it's a busy time for Tony Khan right now. He's still trying to nail down the new TV rights deal. You got training camp that's starting up for the Jaguars, so this man's about to be very, very busy. So hopefully he gets all of his T's and I's dotted and crossed here very, very soon. Again, get those super chats in. Get your humper chats in, guys. We're going to read every single one of them before we get off the air tonight. Let's dive into the action here, SP3. Great opening contest, I thought, here tonight. Darby Allin against the Beast Mortos. Look, man, Beast lived up to his name in this one. That is one big, tough, strong dude. That was a very, very clean, sick pop-up Samoan drop that we saw on Darby Allin tonight. That there were multiple spots in this match where, like, my eyes just bugged out of my head, and I'm like, holy shit, because Darby was just taking the, like, he's like, give me all the stiff bumps. Yeah, slam my head against the steel ring steps, give me a pop-up Samoan drop, chuck me into the ring apron. It doesn't matter. He was taking every single one of them because he's a sick bastard is what he is. And he doesn't care. He's got blood and guts coming up in 4 days. This was very, very hard hitting. This was a typical Darby Allin match. I was very impressed with Beast. And every time I see Beast in the ring, I'm very impressed with him. What was your take on our opening contest here?
The artist formerly known as Black Taurus is one of my favorite kind of luchadors out there, because he's like the perfect base for all the high flyers. So yeah. I thought it was a very interesting match that they announced here, with Darby facing him in Darby's official, you know, in-ring singles return since Anarchy in the Arena. I thought that it was a very well done matchup. My favorite spot, you talk about the pop-up Samoan drop, it had to be Beast Martel's specialty, his signature gorilla press slam off the top rope, because no one else, it seems like no one else in the business even wants to try that, but Beast Mortos does it so clean. It looks so good. And for someone like Darby, who's one of the best bumpers and sellers in the business today, he sold it perfectly. It was just so well done. I like Darby hitting the crucifix bomb off the top rope coffin drop at the end. That was really good spot. This was a lot of fun. This was a fun opener to set the tone for the rest of the show. And I thought it was going to be like a great show after this opener here, because I was like, you're starting off really well. There's some other good matches on the card. So I really enjoyed this one. And I even enjoyed Darby's getting better on his promos as well, with the post-match, with him, you know, talking about blood and guts, talking about the EVPs. He was saying a couple of stuff that he said in like interviews on podcast, and he was saying it here as far as the Young Bucks not advertising and doing interviews like he is promoting AEW, and that AEW is his home. And I really liked him, you know, not only just not saying he's gonna like wait for Blood and Guts, but he's starting the build to All In for himself as well, with him challenging Jack Perry for the TNT championship. And that makes a world of sense. Two of the pillars, the TNT title is something that's synonymous with Darby and his AEW run, so that makes a world of sense for Jack Perry versus Darby Allin at All In.
Yeah, I got to agree real quick here with Pile Driver. The fact that he's able to do that standing press slam on the top rope with a freaking Minotaur. like I appreciate Tony Schiavone, like on commentary, talking about how can he breathe in that thing, man? I'm like, breathe? How can he see in that damn thing? Not only that, but get up on like the top rope. Like, okay, SP3, I'm afraid of heights. All right. So when I trained, the short amount of time that I did, the year and a half that I did it before I fucked up my back, like getting up on the top rope, that would, I don't think I ever fully stood on the top rope, right? Like I was definitely that, all right, I'm halfway up and I'm jumping off, right? Like I never actually stood all the way up. This man stands up, presses a dude with a Minotaur head on, and just jumps down and lands on. Who does that shit? Like, how is that a thing? How is that possible? But that's why he's doing what he's doing. You know,
he's just so good. He's so good. I don't think he's ever going to get like the big push in a place like AEW, but he can have a good match with pretty much anybody, especially the high flyers and the smaller competitors. He's just a great base for their style, and he just throws them all over the place. I thought this was probably his best match since coming to AEW outside of the match he had with Rey Fénix. I think that was also on Collision. That was probably my favorite one that he's had so far, but this was second to that.
We got a super chat in from Van Twinblade. Always appreciated. He says, it's boys' night. We wish Sky a speedy recovery. Yeah. God, I hope that's okay. We'll get to it here in a few minutes. But yeah, if you missed it, Sky Blue looked like she tweaked her knee on a dive to the outside in her match with Hikaru Shida tonight. So hopefully she is okay. She could not finish that match. Also, talking about Jack and Darby at All In, presumably, if that match gets made, inside a cage or a hardcore match, which would you prefer there, SP3?
I would say like a cage match or a hardcore match. No, not the cage match, because you're doing blood and guts. So I think that would be kind of convoluting things. Doing a cage match right after blood and guts. So a hardcore matchup or a Darby specialty, a coffin match.
I would go with the coffin match for sure. I did like Darby's promo afterwards. I love him kind of like taking ownership of AEW and saying this really felt like, man, this just felt like flip a middle finger to the EVP night, because it seemed like anybody who got on a microphone was talking shit about the Young Bucks. It's the fact that they never show up to Collision. They're always sending Brandon Cutler, or they're sending a memo or an email or some BS like that. It's almost like they're the anonymous Raw general manager when it comes to Collision on Saturday nights. They ain't showing up to fight on a Saturday night. But like him diving in and really kind of being the heart and soul of Team AEW for this blood and guts match on Wednesday. Like he was needed. Like Swerve makes sense, but Darby being in there with some of the other guys being out hurt right now, getting him back is big. Getting MJF back is big. Getting Britt Baker back has been big. It really feels like, and this is the line I'm going to take from Sean Rossap. Like, it feels like AEW over the last few weeks is really starting to get the heart and soul of its roster back on television. And it's really, really great to see. Darby Allin was badly needed for this, this blood and guts match on Wednesday.
Yeah, they're getting their identity back, because I feel like the end of 2023 started a period of AEW having an identity crisis. They didn't know what they wanted to be. They leaned into like sports entertainment with the whole Better Than You Bay Bay storyline with MJF and Adam Cole. Then to start the year, they kind of wanted to go all the way back to the original AEW with rankings and stuff like that. And they kind of had to find like the middle ground of, you know, honoring the older AEW, but you're not the same AEW that you were in 2019-2020. You're now 5 years old now, so you have to develop, you have to integrate these new stars, you have to bring back the old stars that kind of bring that AEW feeling back. And Sean, and you are right, like Darby coming back, Britt coming back, MJF being back, that's the kind of the heart and soul. Hangman Adam Page, another one that's like day one AEW people. We got Pac around a lot more than he was previously. Kenny Omega is like the one person where I'm like, I really wish that he could come back, but he's gonna be a little bit while longer. But I really like where AEW is at direction wise. My only nitpick, and I do agree with you, Darby was needed for Blood and Guts and to be against the Elite with his history with, you know, Jack Perry and the Young Bucks. But really wish they didn't bring him back on a random 30-second BS that they did 2 weeks ago on Dynamite. And they just would have had him come back on Wednesday coming down from the Raptors. That's a more effective return than him beating up Brandon Cutler. Brandon Cutler may be very talented, and I know there's probably somebody out there that likes him and cares about him. But me personally, I did not care that Darby Allin was beating up Brandon Cutler.
Everybody beats up Brandon Cutler. Everybody beats up. Like, that's what he does best. He gets his ass kicked. Like, that's what the man does. And that's his sole purpose in AEW, is to be physically, emotionally abused. And he does it so well that they do it to him every single time he's on television. What do you think Blood and Guts this Wednesday could do for the Acclaimed? Man, there's a lot of people who feel a lot of... Let me just say this. They say everybody loves the Acclaimed. Not everybody seems to love the Acclaimed nowadays. There are a lot of people that I see on social media who are, I don't know, they feel the Acclaimed are stale. They're sick of the Acclaimed act, right? And you had Daddy Ass backstage after this opening matchup tonight telling his guys, look, it's time to nut up or shut up. Be the best wrestler in the world. Be a badass. We got to go handle business. It's not about being a rapper. It's not about, you know, scissoring and all that stuff anymore. It's time to get serious. Could the, and yes, Apollo is right. Like, the crowds love them. The live crowds love the Acclaimed. The internet crowd, not so much. So it's a very interesting dynamic. And take that with a grain of salt, because we know the internet tends to swing more negative than positive.
And we've been down this road with, you know, MJF at the end of 2023. Like I was saying before, like every time he came out in the building, he was getting the biggest pop. He sounded, if you just watch the show, he looks like he was the top babyface. But then when you read online, there was a lot of people that were negative about that run. So it's not always a direct correlation to what, you know, the internet fans.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Feeling and what the actual crowds are feeling. And I agree, the Acclaim are still over with the live crowds, but to me personally, they feel like a very stale act. Like a lot of the acts that were over, that got over in 2022, they've evolved. And I don't think that the Acclaim has evolved. And my main gripe against the Acclaim, and I kind of zeroed in on it because I was quite annoyed that they got added to the Blood and Guts matchup, to be fairly honest with you. I've been talking for weeks that I was like, oh, it could be this person, it could be that person, just to avoid it not being the Acclaimed in this Blood and Guts matchup. But they're in it now, and my issue has been with the Acclaim is that they are not being, you know, this feud with the Young Bucks, they are not being elevated to be, you know, one of the top tag teams in AEW again. They feel like they have dragged the Young Bucks and the whole Elite storyline down to the mid-card. Like, it feels like that, and it feels like it's back-to-back feuds for the Acclaim where they did not, you know, go up to where their opponents or rivals were at. They drug them down lower down the card and into the mid card. They did that with Bullet Club Gold earlier in the year, and now they're doing it with the Young Bucks in the entire Elite angle to me. But hey, they're in the matchup, and I think that it could do some good for them to show a different side of themselves and to evolve within Blood and Guts.
I was going to say, because like, could this be the kind of matchup that creates like sort of a palate cleanser when it comes to them, to show that aggressive, that serious side, to show how good these guys are again? I mean, to maybe create one of those memorable spots, you know, like inside of Blood and Guts that just live like rent free in our head, like, you know, Angelo Parker hanging upside down like he was just, you know, skinned in Predator 2, you know, kind of a situation, you know, those kind of spots that just live rent free in our heads. Could that kind of be something that this match creates an opportunity for them to do?
Yeah, you could see like Max Caster doing like his elbow drop off the cage or something like that, or Anthony Bowens, you know, dripping blood all over the place, having a gutsy performance. I think that, you know, Anthony Bowens is the guy that I think is going to be the star out of the two, because I think that Max Caster's social media game is a little too problematic. But Anthony Bowens is very talented. He has been a very underrated in-ring performer for years. He's a good talker as well. When he gets fired up, he can do that fired up babyface promo, and he always does that for the Acclaim. And I liked the little segment with Daddy Ass kind of telling them to get serious, because I think that Anthony Bowens will take that to heart, and he will show a different side of himself in this matchup. I'm just a little worried about their addition in this matchup. We'll see if they can come through and elevate themselves within Blood and Guts. And I mean, I'm thankful that one of the promos on this show made me breathe a sigh of relief, because I honestly thought they were going to wait to do Acclaimed and Bucks for the tag team titles until All In. But thankfully, we got some good news on this show.
And we'll get to that in just a second. Delayed Gratz asking, turn the Acclaimed heel again. Max Caster is a natural heel. Only problem with that is Anthony Bowens is a natural babyface. So it's a very interesting dynamic. If anything, I'd say split them up. But dang, then you're basically leaving two tag teams at that point in the game. Like, I'm just sitting here. I'm like, AEW, really? Motor City Machine Guns, they're sitting right there. I'm like, Grizzled Young Vets, they're out there. I'm just saying, there's teams.
Hey, teams. You missed out on the Motor City Machine Gun sweepstakes, so go all in on the GYV sweepstakes, sir.
We were supposed to get Hikaru Shida versus Sky Blue tonight. Unfortunately, early on in this match, like right as we went to the commercial break, Hikaru Shida did a crossbody onto the outside, and it looked like Sky's knee buckled. Also looked like she could have hurt her elbow or her head. Like it was hard to tell what exactly she hurt on impact. But it did, I believe, turn out to be, I believe Tony Khan said it was her ankle that she ended up hurting. So that's unfortunate. This just sucks. She was not able to continue. The match halted right there. This is something I was really looking forward to. I always love seeing her Kurashita when she's going, and Sky Blue is somebody who continues to get better and better every single time she's out there. So, you know, best wishes there. Thankfully, SP3, we're going to be getting more Shida very, very soon, because we saw her later on where she said, "I'm pissed off. I wanted to fight tonight. I want to fight, and I want to fight, Britt Baker, because, hello, you want a shot at the TBS championship. Get in line, Ms. DMD." And, we're going to get that match on Wednesday. So, as if Blood and Guts wasn't enough for me to tune in, Shida versus Britt Baker in Britt's return match since coming back from injury, sign me the hell up. Let's go. I'm fired up. Let's get to Wednesday, please.
I thought this was one of Hikaru Shida's best promos. Like she's been really working on her English, and this was really well done. It was not mic'd the best, and like you said, they'll figure out those type of issues. But yeah, I thought that she performed this promo very well, and it got me excited for Britt and Shida. I still remember their matchup back in, I think it was 2020. I think it was during the Atlanta tapings when they were taping out of QT Marshall's gym, where she busted Britt's nose. So I like her bringing that up. You also have the history that Hikaru Shida's a year-long run with the AEW Women's World Championship was ended by Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. So they have so much history together. This is the perfect person for Britt to have her in-ring return against and get a big win before she eventually challenges Mercedes Moné for the TBS Championship at All In.
Make sure to get those super chats in. Get those humper chats in, guys. That is the only guaranteed way to get your comment read on the air tonight. Like I said, Drew's going to make sure I read every single one of them before we get off the air tonight. What do we make of Lance Archer, who we see backstage, and he is just beating the hell out of some random dudes? I loved the guy who walked in at the end like, "Oh, I'm not supposed to be here." No! And then gets chucked into the door. Oh, that would be me. That would be like, "I'm not even supposed to be here right now." Like, that would be me, and I just walk into
it's my day off.
Dude got fired on his day off. How's that even happen? But Lance Archer beats the hell out of these dudes and then says, "I think people forgot who the Murder Hawk is. Everybody dies. time for people to remember who the hell I am. And honestly, my first reaction was, well, hot damn, it's great that Tony Khan remembered who the hell you are, because you have been AEW for 4 years now at this point. And does this man, outside of the one time he beat Jon Moxley for the IWGP United States Championship in the Texas Tornado death match or whatever it was, does he have another big win outside of that? Because it feels like he has just taken on the role of, like, here's this big unstoppable monster. Oh, he lost again.
Lance Archer is Kane in the 2010s. he is Kane in the 2010s of AEW. It's sad because there was people like me back in 2020 that thought he should have been the first ever TNT champion, that he should have beat Cody in that tournament and been the first TNT champion. They've had other times where they build him up for these big title matches, whether it be with Moxley or Hangman Adam Page, and he always puts on good performance, but I don't see them ever kind of pushing him to where he needs to be. I thought he's been on Ring of Honor as of late, teaming up with the Righteous in the Trios division, and he's done well there. But me and Kate always talk about they could be doing more with Lance Archer as a single star, because ROH lacks singles talent. That's why we always need a guest star from the AEW roster to go against for the Ring of Honor World Championship, Roderick Strong. Like, you have Lance Archer there every single week. Why not give him a couple of singles matches and heat him up to versus Mark Briscoe at a pay-per-view? That can also work, but I don't think they're ever gonna push him that way. And I only think that he got this segment for him to probably get a squash win next week to set him up to lose to a babyface on their way to All In. And he's only being used here because they're in Texas and he's a Texan.
Yep, sounds about right. We had Tony Nese and Ray Phoenix on the show tonight. Tony Nese getting his hands on a microphone calls the audience fat. I resemble that remark. Thank you for that. Says they don't have any real athletes to look up to, and that's why they're packing on the pounds. Takes a little cheap shot at the Texas Rangers. Man, this match was a lot of fun. Ray Phoenix just continues to be one of the just the more impressive performers that not only AEW has, but just period. This was a mismatch in the chops department when they started that back and forth early on. And, like, as jacked as Tony is, like, I don't know if he needs to cup his hand better, but the sound effects just weren't hitting. And then it doesn't matter the fact that Phoenix comes in over the top of it, and it just sounds like a shotgun shell every single time that man just lays it in. It was incredible to watch. But Nese got a chance to really showcase his athleticism, a beautiful 450 splash. Ray Phoenix, though, overcomes the numbers games, does the walks the type rope, excuse me, top rope, kicks the man, frog splash for the win. Again, I had fun with this one. It was nice to see Tony get a chance to kind of shine here. And anytime Ray is on TV, I'm not gonna hate it.
This was the match that really surprised me, because when I saw the graphic for Tony Nese versus Ray Phoenix, I was like, oh, that'll probably be like a quick, like, 3-minute matchup. Ray Phoenix gets the win. But they gave him some time. I think they went through a commercial break. You had the involvement of Smart Mark Sterling, and him getting punted in the head was my favorite part of the whole matchup. And then they really showed off some strong chemistry with one another. They was going at it, the little reversal sequence into the super kick from Ray Phoenix, and the whole finishing stretch was really well done. Ray Phoenix with the punt off the head, and is how quick he got up to the top rope for that frog splash. And that frog splash it made Eddie Guerrero smile from the heavens. He was like, that's me. I want that. He's like abducted Ray Phoenix's body and hit that frog splash. Eddie Guerrero S. It was so beautiful, so great. I'd really like, you know, them showcasing Ray Phoenix here. I would have liked this more if it was premier athletes versus the Lucha Bros, because you had the Lucha Bros get the win on Rampage against Private Party. Maybe Penta couldn't make the trip to Arlington here. You know, we got worldwide travel issues going on, especially in the professional wrestling world. So maybe that is something to do with it. But I want to see the Lucha Bros back in the tag team division, because then we'll have three teams, Rick. We'll have three teams instead of two.
Now, what's the latest with Penta's contract situation? Because wasn't his supposedly up soon?
His is up in August or September.
Okay, so still a little time.
If I'm AEW, I give him a big match at All In and be like, "Hey, look, see, yeah. see, we love you. We love yeah. you here.
Yeah, you're great. You're great. We love you. We love you, baby. We don't want you to go anywhere." One of the three tag teams that they currently have. Well, we have three right now. We're talking about if they split up the claim. That's why we're saying that they dropped out of two. But anyway, so we have three right now. We saw one of the three in FTR. They came out to talk to Tony Schiavone, and I guess they had a little bit more time than what they were originally going to be getting tonight. That's what Cash Wheeler alluded to. And that let Cash do something he's been wanting to do for a little bit and get some stuff off of his chest and talked about, not directly, but indirectly, about his arrest last year, which was a road rage incident where he was accused of, I believe, brandishing a firearm on the highway at a driver and cutting them off and doing all those other things. Those charges have since been dropped. I believe the case was dismissed, so there's no more legal problems for Cash Wheeler. But he was very open and honest, saying, "Hey, look, man, the last year, it has been a lot of stress. It has been not a fun time for me personally outside of the ring, and this has always been my escape. And, you know, like, this is coming here and being able to perform for you guys and having you guys continue to be behind us was very, very big for Cash." And then he turned around and he parlayed that into very similar to Darby, and Darby talking about earlier how, you know, "I would rather be here getting kicked in the face than being a bagger," or whatever the heck it was that he was doing before he started doing this. And, you know, again, you get one of these "we love professional wrestling" promos from FTR, and how Dax, when he got on the mic, talked about how disappointed he was over the 6 weeks that he was recovering from his hematoma, saying, "Look, I want the Young Bucks to elevate this tag team division." And they did not. They didn't even defend the damn titles while they were out. So they turned, you know, say, "This is how much pro wrestling means to us," and parlayed that into "fuck the Young Bucks," basically.
Like, I enjoyed this promo. I thought we got like a real glimpse into the real people. And man, I said it last week about last week's collision. Cash Wheeler, whatever he did, whoever he ate during his 6 weeks off to get his arms like that. Oh my God, he is jacked to the gills.
He ate the damn dumbbells is what he did. Like, he stopped lifting them and he just ingested them.
He just put it in, and he's looking jacked to the gills. I like, you know, him addressing the whole, legal issues that he had, because, yeah, always when I first heard the story, I was like, "Oh, why would he do something like that?" So right, I understand exactly. Him, you know, coming out and saying, like, "Yeah, I didn't do any of that. That was BS. I'm past that now." And then Dax Harwood talking about the big moments that they had in 2022, 2023, the feud with the Briscoes, the 58-minute matchup with Bullet Club Gold, winning the tag team championships, holding four different heavyweight tag team titles, and now they're going to start their road back to the tag team titles next week, and they want to win the titles at All In. This is why I said before, I want the Lucha Bros to start getting some wins as well, because I agree with Humble in the chat. I do not want to see a fifth time of FTR and the Young Bucks when we just got that in April. I'm sorry. And we got that last year at All In. You are kind of trying to kind of milk this cow dry. Don't milk this cow dry. Separate, bring some time in between when these two teams are going at it. And I would love it to be a three-way matchup with the Lucha Bros, the three greatest teams in AEW history going at it. The Lucha Bros, the Young Bucks, and FTR. I think that's a much more interesting matchup that will sell some tickets than just doing another another round of FTR and the Young Bucks. I think it's too soon to go back to that well. I do want to see FTR in that tag team title scene because they always make it feel like the most important title. I think the Young Bucks are playing very effective heels, but you got to throw in the Lucha Bros in there, in my opinion, to make this a fresher matchup than just another round of FTR and the Bucks.
Yeah, that was one of the it's going to be my next question. Is this TK going back to the well one too many times? It feels very New Day Usos-esque, right? Like where it's yes. like you just continuously going back to that because frankly, we don't have any other options. And it's like, okay, well, let's start creating other options. And this is a drawback to having tag team titles and trios titles because now you got teams like House of Black, which could be in the tag team title hunt. You have, the Guns, who have really, really won me over since joining Bullet Club Gold, right? Like, this was a team that I could give two shits about, honestly, before they joined Bullet Club Gold. And now I'm sitting here, I'm like, holy shit, these guys are over. And I like them. What is going on? We'll talk about that match coming up, obviously. But yeah, like you have talented tag teams, but it's like they're split and there's not enough trios and tag teams to cover all the divisions. And it just feels like this is the only direction that TK can go for a big major show. It's like, okay, well, yeah, let's do Young Bucks versus FTR again, which and look, we can sit here and we can overanalyze and we say, do we really need that for a fifth time? But come Wembley, when that match is going on, we're going to be sitting here going, God damn, this is freaking awesome. These guys are great. And they're going to
I am one of the rare fans that have enjoyed every Young Bucks and FTR matchup. I enjoyed the ladder match. I enjoyed Wembley last year. I think their best match was the matchup. I believe it was in Philly or Boston in 2022 when they fought for the AAA and ROH tag team titles when the Bucks had were the heels and FTR were the baby faces for the first time. I think that's their best match. I even enjoyed the pandemic matchup at Full Gear 2020. So no, I at the end of the matchup when the bell rings a second time, I will probably say, yeah, I enjoyed that matchup too. But I don't think we needed this close after the last time they faced. And I think it's more interesting if you throw a third team in there. I saw people saying maybe the Grizzle Young Vets because it's going to be in the UK and they can get that UK pop. I wouldn't mind that either. But I feel like the Lucha Bros are probably the third best tag team in AEW history. So throwing them in there and also helping Penta make a decision and be like, hey, We like you. We elevate you. We think you're one of the best tag teams in the world with your brother. You get to stick around with your brother. And AEW needs to not only have tag teams, but utilize them better. So yes. Utilize the one of the best tag teams in the world, the Lucha Bros, who haven't really been utilized to their peak potential as of late. So I think that that should be the direction that they go instead of just buying another tag team or trying to outbid WWE for Mo City Machine Guns. Elevate the Penta and Rey Fénix. Why don't?
Make sure to get those super chats in. Get your humper chats in, guys. It's the only way to guarantee get your comment read on the show, just like just Ricardo. Appreciate it. Says, hi, guys, at work. Love you. See you guys later tonight. Well, we appreciate you stopping by for just a quick moment and hope you enjoy on your rewatch this later. Do us a favor, though, if you're checking out the show right now, make sure to engage with us. Again, like I said, get your super chats in, get your humper chats in, get your regular chats in. We'll bring a few of those into play as well. Give this video a thumbs up. Really helps drive up our audience the more engagement we get. And hey, by the way, if you have not yet subscribed to the Fightful YouTube channel, go ahead and hammer that subscribe button as well. We really, really appreciate it. Let's talk about Roderick Strong and Tomohiro Ishii. Boy, if y'all like chopping, this was a match for you, baby. I was laughing my ass off at the beginning of this, where Roddy is trying to best Ishii at his game, right? He's going blow for blow, punch for punch, chop for chop. And just the stoic look on Ishii's face that basically read, bitch, please, for a solid like 10 to 15 minutes of this matchup was just absolutely great. And then finally, Roddy is just like, okay, screw this. I'm going to start dancing around you. I'm going to start running around you. I'm going to get this big hoss tired. And even that really wasn't working at the end, because all it took was this big monster to throw an elbow out there and just slam him into the ground. Roddy was bumping his ass off in this matchup. These guys really told the story in there. They made this match work. I understand if this isn't your cup of tea. I try to find enjoyment in everything. This isn't normally my cup of tea either, but there was just something about the way that Ishii was no-selling every blow that Roddy threw his way that was making me crack up throughout the entirety of this. Roddy does end up getting the win with the Undisputed Kingdom. Hey, there's another tag team you could elevate and throw into the mix for AEW Tag Team Champions, by the way. Roddy hits a low blow, hits the knee for the win. I know this is your shit, SP3. You enjoyed this one.
Hey, I'm a huge fan of Ishii. And no, he's not the guy that he was back in 2017, 2018, or even 2015, 10 years ago. He was probably one of the, like, instant, when he's in a matchup, he's going to give you a banger. Now it's kind of like, it depends on the person he's going against, but they chose the right person for him to go against here with Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong sold the Ishii character very well, where Ishii does try to goat you into doing these hard-hitting matches and trading forearms or chops with him. And Roddy tried it for a while. Roddy's has one of the best chops in the game, and then Ishii just said, nope, I'm just going to back you into the corner. I'm going to grab onto both sides of the rope, and I'm just going to dare you to keep hitting me. And Roderick got scared at one point. He gets out of the ropes. He's like, no, I don't want to do it. And then Ishii's like, nope, hit me. Hit me. He hits him, and then he just walks. It's just so great. It was just so entertaining, and you could see his chest getting red. You could see Ishii's chest getting red, but Ishii still knows how to, like, Ishii does the perfect video game boss selling, where he, like, it takes multiple shots. It takes some of your biggest shots, and all he goes down is just like a little meter. It's just a little meter. He's like slightly affected after you hit him with multiple big shots. And I even like the finish to the matchup with them protecting Ishii here with the distraction from Undisputed Kingdom, the low blow, the rising knee strike, which I don't know if Roddy should be using that rising knee strike after what we got the news earlier in the day. Dalton Castle will be out the rest of the year after getting KO'd neck last week from that rising knee strike. But hey, it's effective. It put someone out. I hope Roddy mentions that, you know, use it in storyline. Be like, hey, that rising knee strike, it's the KO. It took out Dalton Castle for the rest of the year. So that's how I'm going to beat Mark Briscoe at Death Before Dishonor. But this was a really, really good matchup, a really hard hitting, intense matchup, and it fit the, you know, what Ishii is, and I really like their chemistry together here.
Mark Briscoe and Kyle O'Reilly run down to help Ishii and save him from a post-match attack, so that storyline is obviously going to continue here for a little while longer. Real quick, gotta hear a quick message from our good friend Sean Rossap.
Is your sex life stuck in developmental? Well, get ready for a call-up with BlueChew.com and the code FIFEL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but how about this? No awkward in-person visits, no trips to the pharmacy. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package. But let me tell you, your package is not going to be discreet when you use BlueChew, and the code FIFEL helps give you that confidence, that performance, to take you straight to the main event, if you know what I'm saying. When approved online by one of our physicians, it just arrives straight to your door. You're not going to have people nosing around with what you're doing. And right now, you get your first shipment free when you use the code FIGHTFUL. Go straight to the top, if you know what I mean. Memorable performance, high spot, you know, whatever other innuendos you can think of. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
We want to talk about a memorable performance. We got the debut of Hologram tonight, SP3. There was, they've been teasing this for a few weeks now. very mysterious character. Didn't really know what this was going to look like. Who was this going to be? A lot of speculation about whether or not this is going to be, you know, something that they use for Ricochet, for his introduction. You know, somebody or other people possibly playing this character. There was even some rumors that Sammy Guevara could be playing this character. Neither one of those two gentlemen, if you couldn't tell, were hologram in the ring tonight. Coming down, giving me some Kick-Ass vibes with how he was, how the mask looks, the getup and everything was looking tonight. But I'll tell you what, dude's special. He's got some skills, obviously athleticism. He flies around with ease. He had some unique, like he hit like a backwards head scissor takedown early on in this matchup against Gringo Loco, who I thought was a great first opponent for him, an excellent base to allow him to do the moves that he wanted to showcase. Ends up getting the win with a spinning Blue Thunder Bomb, which, you know, just straight to my heart, somebody winning a match with a Blue Thunder Bomb. Look, I don't know. He got the crowd behind him toward the end here. I don't know what this character is. I don't know what he's supposed to be. I'm intrigued, though. I'm interested to see where it goes from here. I don't know how successful it's going to be, but according to BodySlam, you know, .net, and this was something that Sean talked about on Fightful Select as well, just $5. This is a character that's been in the works. At least it's been an idea, a thought for a year at this point. We finally get the debut tonight. What were your thoughts?
Oh, this was a lot of fun. This was just a blast to watch. Hologram immediately comes out and does freaking a freaking foot stand on Gringo Loco's shoulders. And you're absolutely right that Gringo Loco was the perfect opponent for a high flyer like Hologram here. He just came out. He was really fast. And Gringo Loco hitting some nice moves of his own, being the base god that he is. This was the perfect type of matchup for Hologram to highlight what he was really good at, which he's really fast paced in the ring and he has innovative moves. He does the high flying very well and smooth in the ring. And that finisher, you're underselling it by saying it's a Blue Thunder Bomb. No, it's an airplane spin into a Blue Thunder Bomb. Like, I never see that. I was like, that was great. And then they gave it a name at the end of the portal bomb. And
portal
I was
like, bomb, yeah.
That was right. That was nice. That was a nice touch. This was a good introduction for Hologram. Now I'm interested to see what the follow-up is. Like, how is he going to be used? Is he just going to be used like the other luchadors that we have? You know, it was good to see, you know, someone like Commander when he first came in and he's doing the rope walk spots, but the rope walk spot kind of became a crutch for him that he always wanted to use. And then eventually he just started losing to too many people that it wasn't as interesting again. So I hope that they can use, you know, Hologram in a better way since they did the vignettes to introduce him. Hopefully they can give him a strong push, especially during this summer series. And he can be a character that you can see go up the card and face like major stars like your Will Ospreys. Eventually when Ricochet comes into AEW, maybe he's another one that they can have face Hologram. I want to see him against these high flyers on the upper mid card to main event, like a pack, people like that, so we could see what he can do against kind of the best wrestlers in the world on this roster.
Man, Hologram and Prince Puma just throwing down. Okay, that's my jam. That's my jam right there. I know what your jam is. Any match that has Thunder Rosa in it. And we saw her against Deonna Purrazzo tonight in a lumberjack match. I appreciate them calling it a lumberjack match and not a lumberjill match. A lot of the ladies from the AEW Women's Division and Ring of Honor surrounding the ring. And if I'm going to be nitpicky about this, because anytime Deonna and Thunder Rosa are in the ring together, it's going to be a good time. These two have really, really good chemistry with one another, and I thought that this match was a good one tonight. There was a lot of focus on the Lumberjacks themselves in this match, which I can appreciate. Like, there's a lot you're trying to accomplish in this one. I'm kind of like 95% should be a focus on what's happening inside the ring, but they were trying to establish some things and set some stuff up on the outside. So I can kind of appreciate that as well. And especially if it leads to a more prominent role for Taya Valkyrie, who had the biggest role of any of the Lumberjacks on the outside, where she chucked the turnbuckle, a turnbuckle in to Deonna Purrazzo to allow her to crack Thunder Rosa over the head and get the win with this. I don't know if I've ever seen a turnbuckle be used in a match before. I can't remember one. My memory is nowhere near as good as yours, so I like seeing new shit. I thought this was a good match. Maybe they were trying to do a little too much with it, but at the same time, I appreciate the effort into it, and hopefully this leads to bigger things for Taya on AEW TV, because she's too damn good to not be utilized.
I thought this match was solid, but I was very confused, you know, when you see the finish, because I thought the point of this Lumberjack match is you got Thunder Rosa in Texas, you give her a win here against Deonna Purrazzo, then it's a 2-2 series. You could further, you know, push this feud if you want to continue it, or you could end it there with the babyface going over. It was just like, why would you do this matchup if Deonna's going to win a third strike? Great matchup against Thunder Rosa. Also, why are you going to do this matchup? And it's not as good as the no DQ match. The no DQ match was very good to me, and it had one of my favorite spots of the year with Thunder Rosa doing that table walk up as drop kick into the corner. Like, that was a fun matchup that felt like more of a blow off than this did. With the finish, it feels like this feud is going to continue now with Deonna aligning with Taya Valkyrie. That I will say is fun. It's two former and two of the greatest TNA Knockout world champions coming together under the AEW umbrella, going up against, you know, Thunder Rosa, who has been seemingly kind of aligning with kind of the lower card women like your Rachel Ellering, like Lady Frost. She had a moment with on the outside, so maybe we can get more of a prominent role for your Rachel Ellering and Lady Frost, who are both very talented, especially Lady Frost. She's one of my favorites. Anytime she gets a matchup, she stands out in a big way, so I wouldn't mind her teaming up with Thunder Rosa and going at Taya and Deonna. I like what the, in a vacuum, this was done good, because I do want to see what they're going to do with Taya and Deonna together, but I have other lingering questions coming out of this. So, did you really need to do this? And did you really need to have Thunder Rosa lose in Texas? You know, you get the best reaction possible when you have Thunder Rosa win in Texas. But I can also acknowledge the fact that that's probably my Thunder Rosa bias, and I never like seeing her lose.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Look, you know, we all have people we see through rose colored glasses, and you know, we have to calmly assess and go, okay, we all have that one person. But anyway, maybe it's not going to be Deonna and Thunder Rosa that continue. Maybe they decide to push Thunder Rosa and Taya now. So maybe that was more of the start for that feud. And but then you're kind of ending Thunder Rosa and Deonna on a little bit of a fizzle, but I guess you could like I said, I don't know, to be continued, I guess. We'll see what the follow-up is to that. But I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully we get some more next week. Finally, we get to our main event tonight. It was for the Trios Championships that the Bang Bang Gang had, but they were stripped because for some reason they didn't want to do the Freebird rule. Whatever. It sets up this match. The Patriarchy, the Bang Bang Gang, and like I said off at the top of the show, Christian Cage is just the perfect heel. He is the perfect heel, from wrestling in a turtleneck, which in and of itself is annoying, but it's also brilliant. He has all his sons do all of the dirty work, and he takes all of the credit. Just the opening part of the matchup where he teases getting in there early and Juice is white hot and they're chanting for Juice and they want to see Juice and Christian lock up, and he dances around and all of a sudden he just kind of like fades back and he's like, oh, no, tags in Kill Switch, and Kill Switch comes in and just, you know, gets that kind of reaction. But, you know, all throughout the match, like everything that this guy does, if you just watch him, it is the most just despicable way to wrestle a match, but it tells a brilliant story every single time that he does it. Everything that Christian Cage does has purpose, and it's with character when he's in a match. he's very, very good at what he does.
His timing, his pacing, you can tell his fingerprints are all over the matches that he lays out. And that was kind of the thing that I saw from this matchup. I can tell that Christian had a hand in laying this matchup out because, like you said, he was the best heel possible in this matchup. He's very sneaky. He's conniving. He cheats at the right time. He knows where the referee is going to be to get away with different stuff. He's just so good. This was a good matchup. I was really impressed with Juice Robinson, who like six, seven years ago, I was telling people, yo, Juice Robinson, you might not be watching New Japan, but Juice Robinson is one of the best baby faces in the business. He's very underrated. So to see him now in this Bullet Club Gold, Bang Bang Gang style wild man character, but he's still a great baby face and had this Arlington crowd behind him when he made the hot tag and he's doing the juice. He just has an offense that the crowd can get behind. Very well done. Colton Gunn is probably one of the most improved wrestlers on the entire AEW roster. And he just screams he is his father's son. He is Billy Gunn in 1994, 1995. The way he moves in the ring, the way he does splashes, the way he shows his athleticism with the drop kicks and stuff. He's so much of Billy Gunn, a young Billy Gunn in that ring. He's very well established. Austin Gunn is more of like the charismatic of the team, of the duo with them. So he doesn't have the same athletic ability and the same improvement that I've been seeing from Colton in the ring, but he kind of makes up for that.
He's the road dog.
Yeah, he very much is the road dog of their duo for sure.
But he had the sell of the match for me though, when he ran full steam into the corner and got basically yeeted up in the, and then this man just completely launched himself into the turnbuckle, like face first, and then flew to the outside. I'm like, God damn, Austin, Jesus, that hurt me just watching it. But he committed to it 100%. And like, you want to talk about FTR looking jacked, like, holy shit, Austin is really like putting on some bulk as well.
Yeah.
These two guys are putting in work and it is noticeable. Again, just a couple of years ago, these guys were the bathroom break match for me. Like, I could not care less about the Guns. And now I'm sitting here, I'm like, okay, these guys got something. They got me now. They got the crowd behind them. And then, you know, them being a part of the, man, when they put them with Jay White when he came in, and I'm just like, okay.
I know so many people that were down on that or like weren't sure about that. I was not one of them. I knew that was the best move for them. I was like, they are heels. Jay White and Juice Robinson, they are too entertaining that people will like them. So to get some heat on them, pair them up with the Guns because people don't like the Guns. So it made sense, a whole world of sense. But we look at it now a year later and they made them baby faces. Like they got cheered here in Arlington. It worked. It worked out best for them. It worked out for Jay. It worked out for Juice. This was a really well done matchup. I like the finish as well with Mother Wayne getting involved, spraying Juice in the eyes after Christian took the referee and put him in between them. That was a nice little timing.
I missed that at first because the camera angle was like perfectly lined up in sync, which it was a bad camera angle for the spot because all of a sudden I just see Bryce in between them. I'm like, why is Bryce trying to break these dudes up? It wasn't until the replay where I saw that Christian actually reached in and pulled Bryce in to allow Mama Wayne to spray the hairspray and allow Christian to get the win. So if anybody was confused, like I wrote down a whole note. I'm like, what the fuck is Bryce doing in this? This whole ending was a clusterfuck. And then I look at it, I'm like, oh no, he got pulled in. I'm like, all right, let's just scratch all that out. So I had something I was going to complain about. I'm glad I didn't tweet it out because I would have looked like an idiot. But regardless, I just something I missed. Glad I saw it on the replay. But yeah, I didn't like the ending afterwards. Yeah.
I'm just still pissed off at them stripping them of the titles because it makes no sense. It makes no sense now. You should have just had Juice be the replacement. And then the first match that they defend the titles with the replacement, they lose the titles to the Patriarchy.
That's more of a story that makes sense to me than stripping them of the titles for no reason, only to put them in a title match the very next week. That is just, oh my God. I had people in the comments for our ROH review because Kate made me realize that these are not the AEW Trio Championship. These are the AEW Unified Trio Championships, meaning that the ROH six-man tag team titles are a part of this, meaning that you had the ROH tag team titles being defended by one guy last year, only to have the ROH six-man tag team titles not be able to be defended because Jay White is hurt and you strip them of the titles. It makes no sense. So I'm not going to get myself upset. I'm not going to do a rant like I did on Thursday. No, I have people in the comments who said I look like I was going to have a heart attack. I'm not going to annoy myself, even though Christopher Daniels is the worst authority figure in a business that has Adam Pearce as an authority figure. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, the patriarchy should have beat the Bang Bang Gang as the champions and become the new champions instead of making it vacant champions only to make new champions the very next week. It makes no sense.
Calm down. You're going to give yourself an aneurysm. You know, like, yeah, no, it was a move that didn't make any sense to me. Like, and this is something that, you know, Cresta, Ridian, and myself, we talked about. It's like when Juice came back and you had Jay White, who was going to be competing in the Owen Hart. Well, it's like, okay, well, yeah, just use the Freebird rule and let Juice defend the Trios titles since Jay is going to be doing his single stuff, and it's problem solved. It just felt like there was an easy solution there, and you just decided to take the convoluted route just for the hell of it. Regardless, we got new Trios champions. Again, my favorite part of this, though, was much like when Killswitch won the TNT championship and Christian never let him touch it. This was very similar tonight where Christian, at least he got the pinfall victory this time, tainted as it was, he grabs all three Trios titles and he is holding them high up in the air, not letting Killswitch touch him, not letting Nick Wayne touch him. I want this man to come out now next week with one around his waist, one on both shoulders, just walking out, holding all three of the Trios championships, the titles that he gave to his family that he's holding on to for himself.
And I want him to give a title to Nick Wayne and then have Mother Wayne hold Killswitch's title. Don't let Killswitch hold the title. That's the gimmick. Don't let Killswitch hold the title.
What did we make of the lights flickering there at the end?
I think that was House of Black, because they did say they were going to do their direction to All In. So I thought at the end they would do the lights out and then they would show up and attack the patriarchy, because we didn't get a follow-up for that tease last week. But I guess the flicker was them indicating that they are coming for the patriarchy now that they are Trio champions.
We're right here. All right, well, that's the show, guys. We appreciate everybody who chimed in the chat, who sent in a super chat or a humper chat. SP3, what you got going on? Where can they find your stuff? True Heel Heat, all that good stuff.
You can follow me on the Twitter machine at True Heel SP3. I think the only note that we missed on was the Dustin Rhodes, Von Erich's segment, which was very wholesome, very touching. I want to see what they do with we heard from the Von Erichs on their podcast that they're going to be with AEW ROH while they're in Arlington. So I'm interested to see if they can get in the mix for this Trios division, because I will say before Christopher Daniels proved himself to be the worst authority figure last week, Collision was a good place where they were reestablishing the Trios division as its own division with teams kind of popping up: Patriarchy, House of Black, Bang Bang Gang. And now we can have Dustin and the Von Erich. So yeah, I think that would be a nice addition as well. But follow me on the Twitter machine at True Heel SP3, True Heel Heat YouTube channel. We did our flagship podcast earlier today, so go over and check that out. We had great discussions talking about who's winning the free agency war of 2024 between WWE and AEW, with the potential signing of Motor City Machine Guns to WWE. We did final predictions for Slammiversary. We have a lot of fun stuff, so go over and check that out. And I'll be back on the True Heel Heat YouTube channel probably tomorrow. If I'm able to watch Slammiversary, I'll do a review for that. So go over and subscribe. Appreciate the support and appreciate Rick calling me in to be on the show. I had fun talking about Collision.
I put the hook signal up and you answered it. You answered the call. Yes, I knew you would answer the call. This isn't even work. Like just sitting here doing a show with you, I just got to basically set it up for you and let you go. I appreciate you making my night very, very easy. You can follow me on X, the app formerly known as Twitter, at Rick Uccino, as it's spelled on the screen. I should be, fingers crossed, I should be talking to Johnny Gargano at some point this week. That article is going to come out on cagesideseats.com, but it'll be tagged up there on my Twitter page as soon as that article goes up. So hopefully, knock on wood, we'll be talking about his big tag team title win in Toronto and obviously SummerSlam coming up. Will he get a match? Are we going to get are any of the Cleveland boys outside of Logan Paul going to get a match at SummerSlam? That's going to be very interesting to see because that card already looks pretty stacked. So follow me and that'll drop as soon as I get her done. Probably sometime next week, but go ahead and follow me now. Take care, guys. Appreciate the night. Hopefully it'll be me, Cresta and Iridian back next week. We'll see. We'll see. You never know who's going to show up here on a Saturday night. Take care, guys.
Saturday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.